Salvi rips that breaking ball into left field. One hop to Meadows. And Gallagher's on his way to the plate, and he will score. Cam Gallagher comes home on Salvi's RBI base hit, and the Royals take the lead in the sixth inning.
Royals would hold that lead. They snapped the Tampa Bay Rays' 11-game winning streak. Of course, the Royals had an 11-game losing streak earlier in the year, but they snapped the Rays' 11-game win streak. The Royals now won 3 in a row, 7 of 10 since they had that 11-game losing skid. They are 500 for the first time since May the 8th, now back at 23-23. They trail the White Sox by 4 games in the standings. And Brad Keller was really, really good last night. 7 innings pitch, 4 hits, 1 earned run. And those 4 hits, 3 of them were infield singles. He did have 4 walks. It was his deepest outing of the season. He has now had an ERA over his last 6 starts of 3.48, which isn't bad. And that's more ace-worthy. Mike Matheny, manager of the Royals, on the stellar start from Keller.
Brad was as good as I've seen him. I just thought he had a really good rhythm. I thought his tempo, execution on his fastball, his slider was good. Probably the best changeups we've seen from him. If he can continue to develop that pitch, man, it's going to help everything else. So I hope he continues to see it as well as we see it from the side as being a really good swing and miss pitch for him. But he trusted down in the zone today. He wasn't necessarily trying, took a couple shots up, got right back down in the bottom, controlled zone and controlled the running game when guys got on, held the ball really well. Just a lot of things done very well all the way through for Brad. That was a kind of start that we need from him.
3 huge positives come out of that game last night. 1 is Keller's performance. And we talked about it earlier in the year when the Royals were in first place at 16-9, that the Royals were 16-9 with no Alberto Mondesi on the team because he was hurt and Brad Keller hadn't pitched well. And we said, if you want to be optimistic, you're 16-9. Imagine if Keller starts pitching the way he's capable and Mondesi comes back and plays like he's capable. Well, of course, the problem was the Royals have floundered since then. But the Royals are now 23-23, winners 7 of the last 10. Last night, Keller was really, really good. If he can get back to the way he's capable of pitching, that certainly helps your bullpen. And last night it did. 7 innings pitched from a starter. What a concept. And the bullpen did its job. That's the first positive is Keller. Second positive, no doubt, last night was Mondesi coming back. He was 2-for-4 with 2 doubles, extra base power. And, of course, brings speed if he gets on the base paths to steal bases. So, and, of course, he's outstanding defensively at short. So that's the second positive. The third positive is the bullpen for the Royals continues to flourish. And last night, they only had to use 2 relievers because Brad Keller went 7 innings. Jake Brintz and Kyle Zimmer went the final 2. And Zimmer got his second save of the season by getting a big double play ball to end the game. Brintz went 1 1/3 of perfect baseball. And they're able to rest Josh Stahmount, their closer, and Greg Holland and others. And so they were able to trust Kyle Zimmer in a 1-run game to close it. Mm-hmm. So now you got different guys that the Royals are showing faith in. And a lot of people criticize Mike Matheny's managing of the bullpen, which every manager gets criticized for that. But last night he trusted his guys to get it done, give a couple other guys that he normally uses in that situation in a 1-run game some rest. And it worked out really, really well. Now, if Zimmer gives up a 2-run homer, everybody's going to go, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? That's just the way managers get second guess. So give an A-plus to Mike Matheny how he handled the pitching staff last night. But it makes it easier when your starter goes 7 innings. The other thing about these last 10 games, the Royals won 7 of the 10, they haven't had that absolutely implosion start. And what I mean by that is when Daniel Lynch goes 2/3 or he goes 2 2/3 or Keller goes 3 1/3, those to me are called implosion starts. Means that you're absolutely going to wear out your bullpen. But really, over the last 10 games, I mean, even Bubich, when he struggled a little bit the other night, he still went 5. Mm-hmm. So if the worst you get is 5, then the best you get is 7. Now we're talking about maybe the Royals can do something and turn things around and get back to first place in this division and make the playoffs. I'm telling you, starting pitching is so, so important. But when 5 innings is the high level of what your starting pitching does, you ain't going anywhere. But now if you're talking that's the low level, where every guy's going to go out there and give you at least 5, and then Keller and when Duffy comes back and Singer can give you 6-7 or more, now we're talking. Minor had a 7-inning start recently, and he's on the hill tonight for the Royals at 6-10 in Tampa. He has our ERAs over 5, but pretty good last couple times out. He's 3-2 on the season. So that's the key to the Royals is they still striking out way too much. Last night they struck out, again, a ton. They struck out, what was it, a total of 14 times. Rich Hill, who's like 67 years old, struck him out. He's like 41 or 42. He had 13 strikeouts and 8 innings pitched, but the Royals were able to scratch across a couple of runs, the 1 in the 6th. And, of course, the first run they had was on the solo homer in the 4th to tie the game at 1 by Carlos Santana. So You know, the Royals still aren't, you know, offensively have been better the last 10 games. They're hitting like 292. So that's much better. But they're still striking out way too much for my benefit, no doubt. But at the same time, the bullpen has been really good. The starters are starting to go deeper in games. You don't have that implosion start. And they're getting a little bit of timely hitting, which they weren't getting during that long losing streak. Now you bring Mondesi back in the fray. Now you got a guy that maybe Merrifield's been really struggling top of the order. Maybe he goes, Mondesi becomes your leadoff hitter at some point, and Merrifield goes to the two spot. Or you just, you know, try to let Merrifield figure it out. And last night, Mondesi was in the seventh spot, and it worked out good. It was like he was a second leadoff hitter. So, you know, Jorge Soler's still got to figure things out. He was 0-for-3 with two strikeouts, hitting .178. You know, Dozier's on the DL, or IL, I guess they call it. So those two guys, if those two guys could really step up and be what they're capable of doing and driving in runs and home runs, now this offense is completely different. And you'd have Mondesi and Merrifield and even Carlos Santana, who gets on base a ton because he takes walks. He's very patient at the plate. Those three guys could set the table and get on base for the other guys like Benintendi and for Soler and for Dozier. So there is potential for the Royals if you want to look at it half full. If you want to look at half empty, is they're still striking out too much. Their starters still haven't been, you know, that consistent. And the bullpen could get worn out and Mondesi's injury prone. And Witt's struggling. So we, you know, it depends on how you want to look at it, positive or negative. But last night, lots of positives that I can take out of that, beating probably the best team in baseball right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's positives. I think you just look basically at the pitching and say that, man, if you can get that, then you can overcome some nights where you're not hitting the right way. And obviously that's what happened last night. You know, they didn't, the offense wasn't great, but, you know, Brad Keller's a guy that, you know, really has calmed down a little bit since the first couple outings. His ERA doesn't always still look like that, but he's even his record out at 4-4 now and going 7 innings. You're feeling way better about him right now than you were earlier in the year. And again, like you said, if you can go 6-7 innings, lighten the load on the bullpen, and that way everybody, you have different guys that are fresh that can pitch on different nights too. So, yeah, definitely positives from the Royals, even though it was just a 2-1 win.
Yeah, but against a really good team.
Yeah, exactly.
They had won 11 in a row, so that's impressive. Royals try to get the second game and take the series. It's a 3-game series. They took the first game last night 2-1, and tonight Mike Minor is on the hill. Local sports information, we got another golf team did very well at state. We got some college track and field athletes originally from the area that are competing, and we'll have state track and field reports coming up on Friday and Saturday. I'll let Dusty cover all that. And by the way, before I get into that, I just want you to know that Eldon Beheimer, your landlord's birthday is today. I messed with him a little bit on the air, but then I also pleaded with him not to turn the power off to both your apartment and to the radio station.
Yeah.
And so far, the lights are still on. And I say so far because it's still early today, but it is Eldon's birthday. So I don't know if there's Landlord Day or if Eldon's birthday is Landlord Day. I don't know how it all works with you guys. But anyway, it's Eldon's birthday today.
Man,
you needed to know.
Yeah,
he's 85 today. And boom, there went the power.
He was out trimming this morning. He should take the day off.
Yeah.
It's his birthday, right?
Enjoy your birthday. Kick back. Enjoy a cold one, man. Come on. So happy birthday to Eldon.
Yeah, happy birthday, Eldon.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's not listening if he's still, unless he has earbuds in or something.
Well,
he could be doing that.
He's like, the LEDs make fun of me. Why am I listening anyway? I'll get those guys when I least expect it, right?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he doesn't have to work too hard later tonight. I mean, they're talking about severe storms coming
in.
So that could definitely impact him and many other people because, of course, he handles the for the city of Glen Elder and electrical and everything else. So hopefully it'll be not a crazy night, but they are saying there's a good chance for some really, you know, some storms and maybe some hail, maybe isolated tornadoes. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and we'll have severe weather coverage. If you, when there is severe weather breaks, you know, you can count on us to cover that for you here on your local station. All right, Dusty, local sports.
Yes, as Wade said, Tuesday, a great finish for the Osborne Bulldog golf team. Unfortunately, they weren't able to golf day two of their 1A state tournament. That was canceled in Emporia due to raining lightning there. So they just revert back. It's kind of the way the thing is set up. If you can only do one day, then one day it is. And so they revert back to the day one scores there in Emporia, and Osborne was in second place after one day, so they finished second place for the tournament as a team. Frankfort winning the team title at 347. Osborne is second at 358. Rollins County in third at 360. Individually, Trent Mars of Centralia won state with a 78. Brandon Befford of Osborne was just 3 strokes behind, tying for fifth with an 81 there at Class 1A in Emporia. In Class 2A golf at Salina, from the North Central Activities Association, Sacred Heart Knights took home the team state title. They won by 63 strokes in the two-day tournament. Final score of 621 ahead of second place Sterling at 684. Plainville senior Parker Krobe won the individual title, shooting one under 139 total score over the past 2 days. Five strokes ahead of second place Caleb Gilliland of Sacred Heart, who finished four over par. Sacred Heart, this is their sixth consecutive 2A state golf tournament. They won it all the way from 15 to 19, and then obviously last year was canceled due to COVID, and they get it back this year again. So six in a row for Sacred Heart in 2A golf. As far as state titles are concerned, full state golf information and results can be found at ncksports.com. The high school ranks coming up on Friday and Saturday. We'll be covering high school state track and field at Cessna Stadium in Wichita. The Class 3A schools will be competing on Friday. Field events are starting at 8 o'clock both days, as the 1A and 2A schools will compete on Saturday. We won't have our first reports until after 9 o'clock both days, because we'll let those field events kind of stew a little bit and get them rolling. We'll probably do a report right toward the start of the sports ticket there Friday morning, just to give you an update if we have any local results at that point. And then Saturday we'll do a report 9 o'clock, and then we're going to be reporting every half hour after that on Saturday as well from the State Track and Field Championships in Wichita at Cessna Stadium. So that's a look at high school sports. Also, of local note, some area athletes that have moved on to the college Division I level will be participating in the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field West Preliminaries this weekend in College Station, Texas. Davis Dubert of St. John's High School, first on the docket. He'll compete in the men's javelin for Wichita State this afternoon at 1:30 is when that event starts. Also, Beloit grad Courtney Hubert throwing in the javelin for Wichita State on the women's side tomorrow. And then Friday, Dubert will be joined by Brady Paulin at Wichita State, fellow St. John's grad, and then Smith Center grad Mason Buckmaster, who will be in the men's high jump for TCU. Mason Buckmaster, all three of those competing in the men's high jump coming up on Friday. We'll keep an eye on how all those local athletes fare this weekend at the NCAA regionals in College Station, Texas. So best of luck to all those folks as they look to make it to nationals in Eugene, Oregon. So that would be the next step if they compete well enough here in College Station, Texas this week.
All right. And thanks for some folks sharing some of that information that was sent to us, so we can keep people updated. And if there's people, athletes or anything, any achievements for that matter, that are noteworthy in your opinion. Now, getting third in a free throw contest, probably not, you know, that big a deal. But, you know, if you got somebody got third at a national meet or something in whatever sport, or even academics or something extracurricular, let us know. We'll be happy to try to mention it on the radio and let people know about it, because we can't be everywhere all the time. That's impossible, and people don't want us to clone ourselves, we've been told. So, not that we have the ability to clone ourselves, but if we did, I don't think people want multiple Dustys and multiple Wades. But
no.
I don't know. We could make it. We could put a poll, see if people would want that, but I don't think so.
I don't think that would go in our favor. We should probably not put that out.
Probably a good idea.
Just for our ego, you know?
Yeah, we have those. We don't have a bruised ego. That is absolutely correct. Let's see. Let's go to K-State in Focus first.
It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit.
Our focus, K-State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The K-State baseball team set for the Big 12 Championship Tournament. They take on TCU today, as Kansas State will play at 12:30 this afternoon. As they are the seventh seed, they'll meet the number two seed TCU down at Bricktown Ballpark in Oklahoma City this afternoon. K-State at 31-21 on the season, 10-14 in the Big 12. TCU's 36-16, 17-7 in the Big 12. They'll meet for the fourth straight game following the Wildcats series victory there at Manhattan over the weekend. K-State scored seven runs in the ninth, had a walk-off home run by Chris Sabalos to erase a four-run deficit to take the series finale from then fifth-ranked TCU on Saturday. 11-8 was that final. Jordan Wicks will get the start for the Cats to kick off the double elimination tournament. Wicks was an all-Big 12 first-team selection and tabbed Big 12 Pitcher of the Week on Monday. The sophomore lefty picked up the victory after going 7 2-thirds and seven strikeouts against the Frogs Thursday there in Manhattan. TCU ranked as high as number 8 in the national polls So this will be a good challenge for K-State, but they just saw him for three. And if you win that first game, that's really important in a double elimination tournament, no matter what the sport is, a K-State baseball team to take on TCU coming up this afternoon at 12:30 there in Oklahoma City. And also K-State track and field, they're getting ready for NCAA regionals as they advance 27 individuals in one relay team to the NCAA West regional. So that's your focus on K-State Athletics today, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. I can tell you that the KU Jayhawk baseball team lost on a walk-off to West Virginia State 8-7. So not good news for KU, but for K-State folks tuning in to K-State in Focus, wow, that made their day. KU lost, and anything makes your day, or vice versa if you're a KU fan when K-State loses sometimes. Oh, no, wait a minute. You're that fan that likes both teams. Okay, I got it. Yeah, I like this team in this sport, but I like this team in this sport. You're like, okay, fine. You're not a diehard then. You're just
used to be this time of year. You're a Wichita State fan, and
yeah, that's right. Yeah, baseball.
If you believed in that kind of thinking, right?
Yeah, true. You're a K-State football fan, a KU basketball fan, a Wichita State baseball fan. Yep, you're absolutely right. That's right, and an Oklahoma softball fan. Yeah. Boom, got it all covered. And the only thing is, Oklahoma's in a different state. If you didn't know that by now. The NBA playoffs last night, LeBron and the Lakers get it done.
Shot clock at 8. Davis a screen. Wide open 3. Good! LeBron with the final nail right there. 9-point lead, and LeBron with 23 and his fourth 3-point hit tonight.
Anthony Davis led the way with the Lakers, 34 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Andre Drummond had a double-double in the first half. LA took advantage of the size that they had inside. Dennis Schroeder was very, very solid. LeBron James kind of just was minding his own business, and then when they needed it in crunch time, he got it done. 2 fadeaways and that 3-pointer to essentially ice the game late in the fourth quarter as the Lakers even that best of 7 at 1 apiece. I was telling my son, he's really cheering for the Suns. He said he picked the Suns to win the whole thing. My oldest son said that. I said, I am so cool with that. I would be all about that. And I said, but unfortunately, they won't beat the Lakers. And he said, why? And I said, because they just don't match up with them. I said, if the Lakers actually play the way they're capable of playing and they use their size in the post, the Suns will probably not beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. So I said, I'm taking the Lakers. I think I said 6 before the series began. Now, the Suns won the first game. The Lakers looked disinterested in that game. Mm-hmm. And when they, and this is, you know, sometimes the Bulls would do this back in the day, and sometimes the Warriors would do it too. The great teams sometimes are disinterested. They lose a game, and they just are like, okay, we kind of, it's almost like they wanted to lose just to push themselves for the next game. It sounds weird to say, but the great teams, they have a bad game. They rarely have a second bad game in a row in a playoff series. It just rarely happens, and the Lakers are one of those teams. Like, when you have a chance to go up 2-0 on the Lakers or back in the day with the Bulls and other teams, you better take advantage of it. And when you don't, they make you pay. And the problem for the Suns is, once again, it's almost, we talk about constants in life, death, taxes, and change. And there's a fourth, Chris Paul getting hurt in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it stinks because Chris Paul is an outstanding player. He's a terrific leader. He's a point guard. He's 36. He's been on some really good teams. Everywhere he goes, the teams get better around him. But yet somehow, some way, there's always something bad that happens to him. He gets hurt in the playoffs. It happened with the Clippers. It happened with the Rockets when he tore his hamstring, basically, when they were up 3-2 on the Warriors. And they could have easily won. I think they would have won one of the next two if Chris Paul had played in that game. And that obviously would have changed the thinking on James Harden if the Rockets would have made the mm-hmm. NBA Finals or won the NBA Championship. So one guy getting hurt can change everything. And here we are, Suns, first game of the playoffs. Paul's healthy the whole year. First game of the playoffs, and he gets his shoulder all messed up. And he's playing basically with one arm. And last night he was limited to 23 minutes. He didn't play a lot second half. Monty Williams, head coach, said, listen, you know, I'm just not going to put him in this situation. I mean, he was playing with basically one arm. Why the Lakers aren't making him go right is beyond me mm-hmm. because he can't do much going right because his shoulder's so messed up. He heard like some kind of crack or break in that first game, they say. So he's probably, who knows what he's playing with. He's a warrior in regards to basketball terms. He's battling the best he can. He's a clutch player, but when you got just one arm, basically, it's hard to do that. And the Lakers are completely laying off of him because they know he can't shoot it from very mm-hmm. far. And it takes away one of your offensive weapons. And then your distributor, he can't make the passes that he could. And it's just so unfortunate because Chris Paul just seems to be jinxed when it gets to the playoffs. And Devin Booker kept him in at 31 points last night. DeAndre Ayton's played great. It's kind of a coming out party for him. He's 21 of 24 from the field in the series and through two games. But the Lakers were too much, because if you're going to beat the Lakers, you got to have your best players at the top of their game. And it's no fault of Chris Paul that he's hurt. And it really is a bummer. It really is. I can't imagine the frustration that Chris Paul has. It's like, seriously? Like, every year you're almost getting to the point where you're just waiting for something bad to happen when you get to the playoffs. And he's running out of chances to win a title. And to go to the Suns and turn them from a bubble team, a team in the bubble that almost made it to a play-in tournament, or it wasn't a play-in tournament, but didn't make the top eight seeds, to boom, they're the second seed in the West just like that. That's how good Chris Paul is. I mean, he kept the Thunder. They won 45 games last year, and they had no business winning 45 games. Chris Paul is that good. And then in the biggest moments and the biggest stage, and last year in the bubble, he actually was able to stay healthy, but then he didn't have enough firepower around him. Mm-hmm. And so the one year he stays healthy recently, it's when he doesn't have enough firepower. And then when he has the firepower, then he gets hurt. It's just a complete bummer. So the Lakers do win 109-102. That best of seven tied at 1-1. You with me? Lakers win the series?
What are you thinking especially that now without Chris Paul healthy. I mean, I
don't know how the Lakers don't win it now. Unless LeBron gets hurt or something. The Nets blow out the Celtics 130-108. This game wasn't even close. Durant with 26. The Nets, you know, everybody's talking about how the Nets are the favorite in the East. They're looking pretty good, although the Bucks are looking pretty good too. And the Mavericks get it done last night. They're up 2-0. They won the first two games in L.A. Clippers got to be in panic mode. Kawhi Leonard, 41 points last night. Paul George had 28 points and 12 rebounds. I mean, they both played pretty well, but not enough around them, apparently. And they're not playing defense. The Mavs scored 127. Luka Doncic with 39. They just don't match up well with him, which is pretty crazy because George and Leonard are two of the best two-way players in the game.
Yeah.
But Doncic is that good, and he's only getting better. And Porzingis is healthy and playing after he missed some games in the playoffs last year against the Clippers when they won that series 4-2. So here we go, you know. Fire Ty Lue, right?
You got to do it.
Paul George getting ripped, even though he had a pretty good game statistically last night. I didn't get to see much of the game. But the Mavericks are up 2-0, and the Clippers are like, you know, we're not panicking. Okay, you shouldn't panic, but internally you're going, oh, boy.
You haven't played in Dallas yet, and you're down 2-0. That's an issue.
That's an issue. No doubt. Tyronn Lue on a 0-2 deficit. I'm not concerned. That's baloney.
Yeah, you're saying that publicly.
Of course.
Yeah.
If you're not concerned, then you're not human. I guarantee you they're they're in deep trouble right now. The Clippers are, and this is a team that was tanked on purpose to lose the last two games to slide down to avoid the Lakers, supposedly, later on in the playoffs until the Western Conference Finals, and now they might not even win a game, let alone the series against the Mavericks.
And wait until you're actually there to get your, you know, count your chickens before they hatch, you know?
Right.
Act like you're just going to be there.
Yeah.
So listen, I know you want a proper matchup and a favorable matchup throughout if you're going to make it that far, but it doesn't matter if you don't make it.
That's right. Mavs are up 2-0. Nets are up 2-0 in their series. Tonight, three more NBA games, Sixers and Wizards at 6 o'clock on NBA TV. If you get that, you can watch it. Sixers up 1-0. The Knicks and the Hawks. Atlanta's up 1-0. That's at 6:30 tonight on TNT. And the Jazz and the Grizzlies. That's at 9 o'clock tonight on TNT. Dare I do it? Dare I say it? The Jazz will win game two tonight.
I think they'll win game
now,
two.
I picked the Heat to win game two, but that was at Milwaukee. Jazz are the one seed. They're at home. Grizzlies a young team that I think is going to be satisfied by getting the first one. Donovan Mitchell's back for the Jazz. I think it'll be a lot like the Nugget Trailblazer game two. Nuggets come out with a sense of urgency. Lakers Suns game two. Lakers come out sense of urgency. I think the Jazz will too. The only thing is the Jazz haven't really been in the spot, you know, very often in regards to being the one seed and all the pressure on them, but and then the Grizzlies are playing house money. I mean, they're not favored to do anything, and here we are, and it's odd.
They weren't supposed to be in the series, let alone winning the first game.
They were supposed to lose to the Warriors, and they didn't. Now they're up 1-0, and they're playing with house money. Sometimes that's good. They can play loose and steal another game tonight, or you're just satisfied, and you let the Jazz off the mat, and then the series is tied. Mike Conley, you know, remember he was a Grizzly and then traded to the Jazz, and now he's with the Jazz, and the Grizzlies might end up beating Mike Conley when he's with the number one seed in the West. Wouldn't that be ironic? So Donovan Mitchell's back. How effective he'll be, we'll see. He's missed the last 17 games due to an ankle injury. Dylan Brooks has been fantastic in the playoffs, and Ja Morant is a superstar in the making, if not already a superstar. So those are the three games tonight in the NBA playoffs. The NHL playoffs continuing, and, man, I tell you what, it's like every playoff game in the NHL comes down to overtime.
Pesci wrists one right out of Saros. The captain ends it in overtime, and he's mobbed
Hurricanes win in overtime 3-2 and take a pivotal 3-2 lead in the best of seven series. They win game five last night in the extra session. Toronto Maple Leafs win easily over the Canadiens 4-0. They lead Montreal 3-1 at best of seven. For tonight, more hockey on the docket. It is the Penguins and the Islanders, game six. The Islanders' chance to close it out. They lead 3-2. Panthers and Lightning. Lightning up 3-2 at home against the Panthers tonight at 7 o'clock. Those are only two games today. Then tomorrow, two more games. Canadiens, Maple Leafs, game five. And the Hurricanes, Predators, game six between Carolina and Nashville will be taking place tomorrow night. So Carolina with the overtime victory last night to stay alive, or not stay alive, but to take a 3-2 lead in the series. Other sports notes pass along to you. Top five wide receivers join Aaron Rodgers in skipping Packers OTAs, so things are becoming even worse for the Packers. Let's see, what else we got here? PGA's apologized to Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka for the fan swarm, which I thought was awesome, but I understand the safety concerns there, so they have apologized for that. Let's see. Kyrie Irving and the Nets are going to return. Are going to go to Boston. Kyrie will return to Boston, and he's hoping to avoid subtle racism, as he says, as he returns to Boston. And what else do we have here? Oh yes, and we talked. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was like, it hit me late. Subtle racism.
Subtle racism.
I didn't know that there was.
I didn't know that. To me, racism is racism.
It's either racism or not for me.
That's kind of how I feel about it. But maybe I'm naive. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we talked about this recently about freak athletic injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And we told, what was the one that recently we talked about was the guy that broke his hand because he punched the dugout bench with his pitching hand for the Braves. And he's out like for a couple months. Well, here's another one for you. Cleveland Indians announced that its number two starter, Zach Plesac, suffered a non-displaced fracture in his right thumb. He will go on the 10-day injured list, but the club did not disclose a timeline beyond this IL stint. Cleveland manager Terry Francona said that the fracture happened following Plesac's rough outing Sunday against the Twins. He allowed 5 runs and 5 hits in 3 2/3. Francona said that Plesac was rather aggressively ripping off his shirt, got his thumb hit hard on a chair by his locker in the clubhouse as he aggressively ripped off his shirt in frustration. The 26-year-old didn't get a decision despite not pitching very well. And now he's on the IL with a non-displaced fracture in his right thumb. And he I believe he is a right-handed pitcher. So that's two pitchers now that have had a fracture because they've been upset with the way they pitched. Now, this one's not quite as obvious.
A little bit better than a direct punch with your pitching hand.
Right. So the lesson to young pitchers and athletes out there is see, when getting all mad and having a temper tantrum really doesn't do you any good.
No.
I'm going to try to explain that to my 7-year-old who has some temper tantrum. Things don't go his way right away. Like, we were playing basketball outside last night, and, you know, we're playing, and I'm letting him shoot it and this and that, and he's up. Like, I don't even know we're going to, but he's up by a lot, and, you know, that's fine. And my oldest son says, you let him win all the time. You should beat him. And I'm like, yeah, then I kill his confidence, so I beat him. And then when I do beat him, he has a conniption fit. So what do you do as a parent?
Yeah.
So anyway, he's rolling me in this game, and I'm letting him take wide. I mean, I can block every shot if I want to be rude, but that's probably not cool. And so he's up, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, I think he put up a shot, and I tipped the ball to get the rebound, and it deflected off my hand, and it hit him in the face. Not that hard, actually, but it hit him, brazed him across the face. So he grabs a basketball and he chucks it all the way across the yard and he runs inside all mad. I'm like, cool, I win. Disqualification. He forced
I win.
It. I win.
Why? Because I win.
I win. I win. You DQ'd, man. You Dairy Queened. You left. You DQ'd yourself. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I'm going to react that way. So, yeah, now you got these old, the grown guys that are all, I mean, they care. That's important. They're not hitting other people. That's good. But they're their own worst enemy by breaking their hands or fracturing things on their pitching hands because they aggressively rip their shirt off or they punch the bench or they take a bat and try to take out a Gatorade cooler or whatever else happens. And I guess the moral of the day, the lesson for today's Sports Ticket Show is that temper tantrums don't get you anywhere.
No, they don't.
Well, actually, they do. When you're really young, sometimes they do.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Sometimes they do. When you're an adult,
when
temper tantrums usually don't work.
It's not something that you process, sometimes they do get you somewhere.
Yeah. I will say sometimes a temper tantrum makes you feel a little bit better. You get that out of your system sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Like, I'm not going to act like I've not had them as an adult.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a release of frustration. You just hope you do it the right way, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Don't hurt yourself in the process. Yeah, find a bat and hit a cooler is way better than punching a locker or ripping your shirt off and finding your locker with your hand, I guess. I never would have guessed that one. Rip your shirt off and find a locker and hit it like that. But yeah, just find something that you're not directly using your own body,
right,
to get really, really mad about.
I was looking for the liner I could play. That'd be just perfect, and now I can't find it.
I think I know which one you're looking
for,
too.
Yeah, I'm looking for the temper tantrum one, you know, from Vacation.
Yeah.
I can't, for some reason, I can't find it. That would be absolutely perfect. As soon as I sign off, I'm sure I'll find it.
Yeah, it's...
I think I found it. This is when you start to feel better about yourself.
Dusty Dinus.
And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, hopeless, heartless, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed, hallelujah! Where's the Tylenol?
Now, see, that's a productive temper tantrum.
Yeah.
It's just shouting and yelling, as long as you don't have a heart attack or anything. And you're not hurting anybody, you're not hitting anybody, you're not breaking your own pitching hand, you're not aggressively ripping off your shirt. It's just Chevy Chase.
You're just cutting off the null post and then going off. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Fix the null post.
So let it be a lesson to you, everybody. Just remember that. Food for thought. Who knew we could be an educational program? Have a great day.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.